Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to this Monday edition of the Hagman Report. It is Monday, June 12th, 2023. I'm Doug Hagman. Thank you so much for your belief and support in the Hagman Report. A lot of information to get into. You know, last week we really didn't get down into the granular details of the indictment against President Trump, and there was a reason for that. All right, 48 or 44 pages in length, 38 indictments, 48 pages in total. The charges were 44 pages, and then an additional several pages of what would you call them? The charges, what's associated with the penalties, with the charges and such. But, you know, I want to get into this because this is one of the most historic moments in time. Now, I want to get into this because obviously this is the weapon that is currently being used. And I'll say this, this is one of four. There will be other indictments on a federal level. This is one of potentially three additional indictments. Okay. This is just one, and this deals with the documents. Now, I want to get into that. And of course, we have a number of other things taking place. We've got wildfires in Canada that are taking place. Very interesting footage there. And when you start a deep dive into the fires, and you start thinking about the missing ammonia nitrates from America, things get a little bit weird. And then you look at the color, the hue of smoke encompassing New York City, the veritable shutdown of New York City over a couple of days, what the intent here is. So there's that. Then we've got, in addition to the indictment and the wildfires, then you've got this issue of morality. And I say that in and of itself, by itself, what's taking place with respect to the transgender movement and the larger scope of how the police agencies, the federal, state, local police agencies have been directed to handle Antifa, BLM, siding with the transgender movement. There are a lot of odd things taking place here. Then you've got the deep state, the components therein, names you will never hear, organizations you really will not hear about, whether it's the Committee of 300, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, other organizations really mapping out the globalization that is really on a fast track right now. So I spent pretty much 4 days going through everything from the indictment, working backwards from there to see about the weaponization of the FBI, CIA, well, in the entirety of the intelligence community domestically, but also internationally, and who they're answering to. And again, look at the bigger picture here and how things are, how they expect things to play out. Now, what I did find during this deep dive before I get into the indictment is this, and I don't hear anybody really reporting on this, or very few people reporting on this. if any. Now, this came through the Free Thought Project, and you can, if you want to have the document, can fine. But a FISA court opinion that was released last week, folks. This is the Free Thought Project last week. Revealed that the FBI violated the constitutional rights of 278,000 Americans in 2 years, 2021 and 2020 and 2021. These were warrantless searches, and you can see right here, these were warrantless searches of their email and other electronic data. Now, if you didn't have a smartphone, hey, or a computer, there you go. You wouldn't have to worry about that. Of course, there would be more physical and analog type surveillance, but nonetheless. So let me move on with this, because this is critically important for people to understand. For every American, for each American that the FISA court permitted the FBI to target, the FBI illicitly surveilled almost 1,000 additional Americans. Now, this is only the latest federal surveillance scandal stretching back to the years following 9/11. Now, this gets into some history that's important for all of us to understand. And when you start going back into the Kennedy assassination, Watergate, Iran-Contra, and everything through the present, you can see the evolution of the surveillance state. You can see the maturing of the deep state and the handoffs between the old guard and the new guard. Extremely important, folks. Again, this is original material here. My assessment, based on my investigative abilities, to tell you what's really going on. And from that, I believe we can also address what will happen. And I've got some things I want to tell you about that. So what we saw was the FISA law that was enacted in 78. That was a consequence, really, of the Watergate and the Church Committee hearings, primarily the Church Committee. But the FISA law was enacted to curb, ostensibly, to curb the rampant illegal political spying exposed during the time of Richard Nixon. One of the most misunderstood periods of American history, I believe, was Watergate. What that was all about. Everything you hear, read, at least in my view, about Watergate, unless you talk to people like, for example, Roger Stone, who's up on Watergate, who understands really what was going on there, you won't get the true story about what happened. But after 9/11, George W. Bush, now his administration, decided that the president was entitled to order the NSA to take whatever they wanted, take up Americans' emails. Okay, if you were an American citizen, 9/11 through the Patriot Act, and other acts, they said, okay, George Bush, you got the government has a right to everything. This is what he said. Again, where does this stand today? What does this have to do with what's going on today? Everything. All right. The New York Times, after the New York Times exposed the surveillance scheme back in 2005, I don't know how many people remember this. Oh, this brush up, this big dust up about the NSA spying on Americans. Remember Alberto Gonzalez? The attorney general at the time, he announced that the president has the inherent authority under the Constitution as commander in chief. Now, remember, commander in chief, the president is only commander in chief during wartime. Well, is there a war going on? Has war been declared officially by Congress? But I digress. To engage in this kind of activity. Gonzalez apparently forgot the congressional impeachment proceedings against Nixon. The Bush White House also asserted that the September 01 authorization to use military force resolution Congress passed entitled Bush to tap Americans' phones. But if the authorization actually allowed the president to do whatever he thinks is necessary on the home front, Americans have been living under martial law. Folks, there it is right there. Okay. Bush put us under martial law. Actually, Bush Cheney under martial law following 01. And FISA went right along with it. And this empowered the intelligence community. So if you think, for example, you're going to vote your way out of whatever's coming, you're wrong. It's not going to happen. Federal judges disagreed, of course, with Bush's prerogative to obliterate Americans' privacy. The result was the 2008 FISA reform that authorized the feds to continue commandeering vast amounts of data. But under Section 702, and you've heard this before, Section 702 of FISA, the FBI was permitted to conduct warrantless searches of that stash for Americans' data only to seek FISA or foreign intelligence information or evidence of the crime. Okay, this is, in a sense, the exploitation, the weaponization of the FISA courts. This is what we're seeing today take place. Think January 6th. Think about everything that's going on today with respect to even the school board, Moms for Liberty. I mean, there are so many facets that this can be applied to. In other words, if you think you've got privacy, you've got no privacy. And FISA, the government is going right along with this. The Attorney General, of course, going right along with this. Now, this is important because we're seeing this happen right now. Obama responded to the new law by sharply expanding the NSA seizures of America's personal data. Again, this is from the Free Thought Project. This was dated June 7th, 2023. The Washington Post characterized Obama's first term, listen to this now, as a period of exponential growth for the NSA's domestic collection. In other words, Obama is behind the expansion of the intelligence community, the surveillance state. That's the guy responsible for all of this, Barack Hussein Obama. His Justice Department thwarted court challenges to the surveillance, thereby permitting the White House to claim that, hey, you know what? We're respecting Americans' rights and privacy. Snowden, and this is where Edward Snowden comes in. He blew the roof off the surveillance state with his disclosures back in 2013 in June. But there was no reason to presume that the federal crime sprees were not occurring before Snowden blew the whistle. Now, Professor David Rothkopf explained that in 2013 how FISA's Section 702 worked. And this is critically important for people to understand. What if government officials came to your home and said that they would collect all of your papers and hold on to them for safekeeping just in case they needed them in the future? Hey, but don't worry. We're not going to open any boxes. No. Until we get a secret government court order sometime. But we're not going to tell you if we do, when we do. We're just not going to tell you. We're just going to keep the boxes over here with us. Again, who's behind this? Obama. Who fathered this in? Bush. But it's been working in the background really since the Kennedy assassination. Eisenhower warned us about this, and here we are today. All right. So the 08 FISA amendments in Section 702, that snared vast numbers of hapless Americans in federal surveillance nets. Okay. Remember that number, the very first number, 278,000 Americans in 2020, 2021 with warrantless searches. Okay. And I should add that the FBI illicitly surveilled almost 1,000 additional Americans in addition to the 278,000. But I digress. The Washington Post analyzed a cache of 160,000 secret email conversations threads that Snowden provided that the NSA intercepted and found that 9 of the 10 account holders were not the intended surveillance target, but were caught in a net the agency had cast for somebody else. In other words, whoops, we're sorry. So sad, too bad. The file tells stories of love and heartbreak, illicit sexual liaisons, mental health crises, political and religious conversions, financial anxieties, and disappointed hopes. Now, think about this. Folks, I want you to think about this. You think this was an accident? This was no accident. What's the core material of blackmail? What's the core material of controlling someone else? There it is right there. Okay, this began in earnest under Obama and continued. Why do you think what we're seeing right now, especially with the, think about the inaction of the GOPE, the establishment Republicans. I think if we have a two-party system, which we don't, but let's say we did, how come they're not acting? Well, what do you think the material that was garnered, gathered, and being stored, how do you think it's being used? Boy, I don't want that out there. My goodness. But see, again, I mentioned morality. This is why morality is so important, but is lacking today. And Snowden, of course, leaked secret court rulings that proved. The FISA court had created a secret body of law, giving NSA the power to amass vast collections of data on Americans. This was reported by the New York Times back in 2013. FISA judges, what did they do? People seem to think FISA judges were lied to. Look, FISA judges rubber-stamped massive seizures of Americans' personal data that contradicted Supreme Court rulings on the Fourth Amendment. Screw the Fourth Amendment. You ain't got no rights. You think you got rights? No, you don't. Uh-uh. No. See the Supreme Court right there? Don't worry about it. Yeah, there you go. It's gone. Your rights, no more. Okay. Now, people should have been outraged. Unfortunately, Snowden's courageous discourses or disclosures did not stop any outrages. A heavily redacted 2002 opinion finally released this would have been a week ago Friday, revealed that the FBI wrongly searched almost 300,000 Americans' online lives. And this was on top of the roughly 3.4 million warrantless searches of Americans in 2021 via Section 702 that the FBI conducted, that the Justice Department claimed was justified. Think the FISA warrantless the searches of that created the predicate for Crossfire Hurricane, for example, the 702, all of these FISA searches, all of this was all BS. All of it was all unconstitutional. Listen to this now. The latest disclosure from the FISA court signals that the FBI presumed that any American suspected of supporting the January 6, 2021 protest forfeited his constitutional rights. Did you hear what I just said? The latest disclosure from the FISA court signals that the FBI presumed that any American suspected of supporting Jan 6, those protests forfeited their constitutional rights. So that means the FISA court looks at me, and says, you know what? You forfeited your rights. No, I didn't. And neither did you. Roughly 2,000 pro-Trump protesters, including an unknown number of undercover agents and informants. Oh, yeah. Hey, Liz Cheney. Hey, Nancy Pelosi. Hey, Schiff. Hey, J6 committee. You got some answering to do. But let's move on to the, indictment, right? No, this is the undergirding of everything that's happening today. An FBI analyst exploited FISA to unjustifiably conduct some searches on some 23,132 American citizens to find evidence of possible foreign influence, although the analyst conducting the queries had no indications of foreign influence. As an investigator, I have access to databases normal people don't. Now, I'm not talking about stuff you can get on the internet. Hey, you know, pay $5 and find out about your neighbor. No. So, and I'm audited all the time. I mean, on a routine basis and sometimes on a surprise basis to make sure that my queries are in fact in line with exactly what I'm saying I'm doing with respect to the investigations. In this case, anything goes. It's the Wild West of, we're going to find out everything about you. The FBI exploited FISA to target 19,000 donors of the campaign of a candidate who challenged an incumbent member of Congress. I mean, this goes on and on and on and on. Okay, I'm going to continue. The FBI conducted some 656 warrantless searches to see if they could find any derogatory information on people they planned to use as informants. The FBI also routinely conducted warrantless searches on individuals listed in police homicide reports, including victims, next of kin, witnesses, and suspects. How's that for rubbing salt in a wound? Almost literally, right? Even the Justice Department complained those searches were improper. You're damn right they're improper, unconstitutional, and the people that conducted them should be in prison. Now, I'm not going to go through this entire article, folks. It'll be at HagmanPI.com. Open up the program description box. Read this. It goes on. It talks about warrantless searches of the data trove for domestic terrorism. And this is where we come into the Moms for Liberty, for example. This is where we come into Oath Keepers. Everything and anything and everything. If you think that this is not an issue, you are sorely, sorely mistaken. All right. This private data has been rounded up in government databases. And folks, there is absolutely no penalty for anyone doing this. And there's no reason to presume that the feds have disclosed all of their FISA wrongdoing, as we've seen. And prior to Edward Snowden's leaks, the feds probably admitted less than 1% of federal surveillance abuses. Now, the last part that I'm going to get into here on this is Section 702 will expire this year unless Congress reauthorizes that provision of law. Do you think that they're going to reauthorize that? You're damn right they will. I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. They're going to reauthorize that. Why? Because the deep state needs them to. And even if they don't, you think that this is going to stop? BS, it's going to stop. It's going to continue. So that's that. That's a Free Thought Project. And I wanted to get to that as the basis, as the, I guess, kind of like a backdrop for the indictment against President Trump. Because remember, everything that led up, as soon as President Trump descended that escalator, he was under fire. Now, look, President Trump has got, with me, he's got some, I have some issues, the injecticide, you know, Operation Warp Speed, he's got some answering to do on that. Okay, however, you've got to ask yourself this question, and you don't have to be an investigator to ask this question. Why, as a matter of fact, is President Trump such a target of the deep state? Why did they want to take him down? Why did they need to take President Trump down? I went through the indictment. You saw the indictment on the screen earlier. That's fine. Again, these are violations of the Espionage Act. This is no small issue. I want people to understand, too, who Jack Smith is, the guy running the grand jury. Jack Smith was a prosecutor for the UN. His wife made and makes documentaries with Michelle Obama, Michael Obama. Okay, Smith is no, there's a lot of problems with Smith. Band.video does a great job about Jack Smith. If we have time, we'll play a little bit about that. But as much as I want to get into Jack Smith, and it's important to understand Jack Smith, I want to get into the indictment. Now, the indictment shows us, and there's more to come. You've got to ask yourself some questions. Why? Is it because President Trump so badly abused and misused the system? Let's be honest now. Forget about politics. Is it because President Trump abused and misused the system that there was an indictment filed by a grand jury in Miami, which, by the way, on Wednesday, Laura Loomer is going to be down there with the supporters of President Trump? Is it because he abused, misused, and actually broke law? I don't think so. I'm going to work backwards here. We're going to look at the bigger picture, and then we're going to kind of get into this a little bit. And I ask that you stay with me, because at the end of this, I can connect this to electric vehicles, the downing of the power grid, the grooming of our children. I can connect this with a lot of things. So please stay with me. And please, if you think this is worthy, I ask that you tell other people about the Hagmann Report. And I ask also that you subscribe to us on Rumble and Brighteon. Pick your preference, or both, actually. That would be great. Spreaker. And please give us a thumbs up or not. It doesn't matter. But please subscribe, because that raises our visibility. You know, we had almost a quarter of a million subscribers at YouTube. Hey, I got the plaque to prove it. Okay, so anyway, and the letter and all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, YouTube is compromised. It's captured by the Communist Party, by the Communist left. And you can't say what you've got to self-censor if you want to be on YouTube. And there's no, they kicked this off. But even if they didn't, there's no way I'm going to self-censor anything, nor should you, in my view. But then you do you. But I'm going to kind of go backwards on this. And I want to go to a source video here. This is Robert Barnes talking with Alex Jones. He makes three extremely important points. And then we can work backwards from this. There's two clips from this interview. And you can watch the entire thing. It's up to you. But three very important clips. The title of the source video is Republic Fighting for Its Life, Biden Regime Using Justice System to Preemptively Steal the 2024 Election. This is from yesterday. Is that what's going on? That's just part of it. Barnes does a great job in really breaking this down into three parts. And I think that these three parts individually have importance, not just merit, but importance. Okay, with the third being extremely interesting and not discussed. So this is clip number one from source video three in the program description notes at HagmannPI.com. And this is about 3 minutes in length. This is kind of the coming out of this shoot. Robert Barnes summarizing what this indictment is all about. Here it is, clip one, source video three. Go ahead.
what I see is a threefold approach that's taking place here. First of all, the deep state wants to take Trump out from being competitive in the 2024 election. As you noted, is a preemptive strike against the 2024 election. They assume that the indictment will have enough voters doubt President Trump that they will be able to defeat him in the primaries or in the general election. The second goal, which is co-equally important, they are trying to establish a legal precedent that the deep state has priority over the elected president of the United States. It's important. I mean, the idea of classification, the idea of national security information, all that derives from the power vested constitutionally exclusively in the elected president of the United States. They're trying to establish a legal precedent that the president of the United States cannot even disclose to the American people the secrets of the deep state. Because that's the underlying allegation here, is that he told media members that General Milley was lying when General Milley was accusing Trump of trying to wage war in Iran. He said it was actually Milley who was trying to wage war in Iran, and Trump stopped him. And they're saying that was a criminal act. So they're saying that the elected president of the United States discloses to the American people the secrets of the deep state, they can go to prison for it. And they want to establish a legal precedent of that, so that this unelected administrative state, bureaucratic state, deep state in the intelligence community has legal constitutional control over the elected president of the United States and can prohibit and prevent those secrets from being disclosed to the world. That is the legal precedent they're trying to establish through the Trump case. So this isn't just about taking out Trump. This is the deep state versus democracy. This is the deep state trying to take out the Constitution itself. This is the deep state trying to remove the power of the elected president to share the secrets of the deep state with the American people. So, I mean, they assassinated President John Kennedy. They assassinated presidential candidate Robert Kennedy. They were behind the impeachment and resignation of Richard Milhouse Nixon. They were complicit in the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. And now they are trying to not only take out President Trump, but permanently take out the constitutional power of the president of the United States sharing the deep state secrets, the warmongering machine, with the American people. So that's the second very perilous precedent trying to be established here. One is to interfere with the 2024 election and punish Trump for being an independent voice on foreign policy. The second is to prohibit any president from being an independent voice and exposing the deep state secrets. And the third aspect of all of this, I believe, is it's leverage for Biden. It's a tool by which Biden can use to potentially pardon himself, his family, his son, his sister, his brother, his political allies, many of the deep state corrupt people named and mentioned explicitly in the Durham report. And what it does is that when he does that pardon down the road, he can throw in a pardon of Trump as political cover for his pardoning himself and all of his corrupt allies. That it's effectively something he can put in his back pocket just in case Trump wins the election.
And let me stop you, because what you just said is the most stunning, powerful, accurate analysis. And I've been watching a lot of the pundits. I've not heard one of them make that point. That was actually in my list of things. I've made the point.
And there it is. Three things. And I think that this covers it well. Now, again, I've gone through the indictment several times. I spent a lot of time on this. And I've also talked with as many constitutional attorneys as I could, familiar with, and you know who I'm talking about, I suppose, familiar with the Presidential Records Act and such. But anyway, three things that Robert Barnes mentioned. Number one, to stop President Trump from being a viable candidate in the 2024 election. Why? Okay, my question to you, you see, a lot of people right now, especially conservatives, are really angry with President Donald Trump, especially about his position on the clot shot, the injecticide, the vaccine, whatever you want to call it. I fully understand that, and I'm behind you on that. I'm there with you on that. I want some answers, too. I want to know what the hell was going on even today with his position on that. But they want him out They don't want, I mean, by any means necessary. And I would suspect as well that if they have to kill this man, they will kill him. That's my suspicion. To avoid having him as a candidate, viable candidate in 2024. So number one, according to Robert Barnes, is to get rid of him as a viable candidate. Number two, and this is kind of a rather opaque, but yet almost an occultish, if you will. By that I mean hidden hand. The deep state controlling the office of the presidency. What do we see taking place today? We see that very thing happening today. You don't think Biden's running things, do you? Of course not. That guy can't even, I mean, he can barely run his mouth. But the third thing, and notice the timing on this. The third thing, this sets a precedent. If Biden decides, okay, whomever, but specifically Biden, says, well, we're going to pardon President Trump. Because, you know, really, when you get down to it, this is more of a violation of the National Records Act as opposed to the Espionage Act. And maybe we're a little bit too gung-ho on this. So we're going to pardon him. That allows him to be pardoned, his family members, and the whole gamut to be pardoned. Now, why is that important? Well, obviously, for obvious reasons. You know those reasons. But this extends beyond even what Robert Barnes says, because, again, I have no life. So I took a deep dive into things. And this is one of the things that there's some of the notes I've taken. And this is important to me. I mean, it's important, I think, for people to understand. The Department of Justice, when you go back to Crossfire Hurricane, go back to when President Trump came down the steps and you had Strzok and Page and all of the people, in the last, from that point to the last days of Obama in office, Susan Smith, or Susan Rice writes that email saying, hey, we did nothing wrong. Everything was on the up and up with respect to this meeting. I mean, just absolutely crazy stuff. But that period of time between President Trump announcing his candidacy and Obama out the door, a lot of stuff happened during that period of time, including Department of Justice and Lisa Monaco specifically. Well, they're still continuing their offensive, if you will, against President Trump in large part. But why? And I have to look at the motive behind this. Because think of what Barnes said. And let's connect some dots here. Why is a pardon so important? Well, obviously for Biden, it's pretty clear. Anyone who's ever seen the hard drive, anyone who's ever seen the evidence against Biden and his family, they know it's all about money, selling national secrets for personal profit, selling out their nation for personal profit. That's their gig, right? Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, the same deal with Laurel. Go back to the 90s. And even to some extent, the Bush family with the Saudis. So there's a lot of things here, but let's look a little bit closer at this because we still have Obama in the picture here. And everything, man, I go down this rabbit hole. I keep bumping into Barry and Mike. Okay. I bump into them all the time when I'm in this rabbit hole. Monaco, as the front, Lisa Monaco, her position in setting President Trump up, Department of Justice, Crossfire Hurricane, Russiagate, the collusion hoax, all of that. Monaco was kind of Obama's pet person. Well, she's continuing the offensive against President Trump to cover for the actions of the Obama regime in that original targeting of the political opposition known as President Donald Trump. Again, originating Spygate, the Russian hoax, the Spygate operations that happened between 2015 and 2016, and Russiagate 16 to 17. The Mueller ordeal from 17 to 19. The first impeachment, which transcended 2019 to 2020. Durham, that marathon, 4 years, 19 to 23. And then you've got Jack Smith, 2022 to the present time. They are all part of one big, huge cauldron, if you will, of this weaponized Department of Justice and FBI operations. Now, don't go to sleep on me here, okay? Because this gets a little tedious, I know. But the entirety of the effort to protect the actions that were taken by Obama, specifically Obama, and all of his lackeys, they need to be protected. And Durham should be questioned about this in the defense of President Trump. But the weakness, the statutory, if I could use that word, weaknesses, in the case outlined in this indictment against President Trump, now we're going to go a little bit deeper into this, exist out the wazoo. If you look at the potential defenses of President Trump, the Presidential Records Act, it supersedes any issue of document holding. Now, if we can go to, let me just make sure here. If we can go to page 3 in the show notes, I want to show you something. This was taken contemporaneous with President Trump's departure out of the White House. This is page 3 in the show notes. This is from the Conservative Treehouse, Sunday Talks, the encapsulation. This is a last refuge, of course, Conservative Treehouse. If you take a look at this, if you scroll down on this, on that article, and take a look at these photographs, this is, okay, that's what I want you to see. For the radio listeners, what you see there is a pile of boxes, banker's boxes, cardboard boxes, boxes of various sizes, shapes, some with covers, some sealed, some not sealed. Just this variation of boxes, probably a couple of pickup truck loads full of boxes outside of the White House. Well, what's that about? Well, when you do go to that particular article, the Conservative Treehouse, as I said, this would be the page 3, the encapsulation that's referenced. The text there said, if the documents do not belong to President Donald Trump, then why did the government dump them in the parking lot of the White House and tell him to deal with them? That's a good question. If the documents belong to the government, as Bill Barr recently said, if I have the stomach to, I'll play that for you, and not to the man for whom they were created, then why did the same government give them to him and force him to take them to a location of his choosing? This is what happened. And at the heart, at the epicenter of the indictment is just this. This is not a violation of the Espionage Act. This is purely a National Archives issue, Presidential Records Act issue. It has nothing to do with this Jack Smith deep state UNWEF larger scale created espionage claim. I've read some stuff on social media, and keep that picture up there because I think that picture says a lot. This is what was taken to Mar-a-Lago and other locations. And by the way, Biden has 1,850 and counting boxes just like that. And they're spread out over various locations. Oh, and so does Bush, and so does Obama. And yes, even Clinton. But the arguments against Donald Trump are akin to a business saying that, hey, that all work product created during the tenure of employment belongs to the enterprise of the business and not to the employee. So if you want to hold that line of thought, that's okay. But then you need to reconcile that the business enterprise intentionally gave all the work product to the employee, in this case, President Trump. It dumped it in his lap and said, hey, take it and get the hell out of here. Then they come back later and say, you know what? We need now to review the stuff that we forced you to take because some of it might not actually be yours. Does that make sense? The fact that the National Archives and Records Administration refused to take custody of the documents upon the end of the White House tenure, combined with the fact that the National Archives dumped those documents in the parking lot of the White House for President Trump to deal with, is a direct statement. The bureaucracy was telling President Trump, hey, these are yours. Get them out. They're your records. They're not records on loan to them. They're yours. Importantly, the Presidential Records Act is the overriding legislative guidance for the flow of work product post-term in office. That's it. So see this for what this is. This is, as Robert Barnes so eloquently stated, three reasons. Number one, to stop President Trump from running in 2024. Make him a convict, a felon. Make him run from a jail cell. And you know what? For that alone, I'm going to back him 100%. For that case alone. Why? Because if they don't want him, then there's got to be a reason. You know, a man is defined not just by his friends, but by his enemies as well. I don't know who said that. But think about that. And in the deep state, the opaque part, the deep state, overreaching and overriding the presidential executive branch. But then the third thing about the pardon, extremely important. Let's back away from the pardon momentarily. And oh, I should add, the pardon part, Ukraine, which is losing badly to the Russians by the Nazi, the Ukrainian Nazis losing badly to the Russians. Biden, of course, and his son and his entire family got just totally enriched by them. Let's go to clip number two, source video three. This is Robert Barnes continuing here. And watch this. Oh, sorry, we got to get back to that. I kind of digressed, didn't I? Just here it is.
Change. You want to explain it to people?
Yeah, and it's totally up to the president to unilaterally determine which is which. So the president, I mean, this has already been litigated. You know, Judge Jackson dealt with it in D.C., when Bill Clinton kept national security classified information in his sock drawer. I mean, that's why Trump is calling it the Clinton socks case. And what the judge said is it's up to Clinton whether that is a archives material, whether that's personal records, or whether that's governmental records. And it doesn't matter if it includes national security information. Doesn't matter if it includes classifications. All that matters is that the president himself, Clinton, made the decision about the designation of the document. The entire Presidential Records Act reflects Article 2 of the United States Constitution, which says that the Congress cannot restrain the president. I see people saying Congress controls classifications. They can't constitutionally. Imagine if Congress passed a law tomorrow that said we hereby make it a crime for the president to exercise his constitutional authority. That's an unenforceable law. That's an unconstitutional law.
Congress only has funding mechanisms and oversight. The president is involved in the executive branch and the armed forces. Congress is in control of the purse strings. So that's the separation of power. So you just said it. That's what this is, a giant bureaucratic power grab. Never until Trump did the National Archives start complaining and bitching publicly and then demanding that the president give them all the documents. That is, again, a bunch of bureaucrats that he could have that agency abolished if he wanted to, telling the dog what to do. That is a flea on the tail of the dog saying it's the president. And I can't believe how ignorant the American people are that they don't know this. But I guess we live in a country where 30% of people think two men can have a baby, Robert.
I love the way that, right where I cut that off. Yeah, people aren't getting that. One of the things, and this is going to be video number two next here, video two on the show notes for today's episode. I want you to look at this. This is, to me, this is akin to the deep state, or at least their spokespeople, and telling you what is going on. When I saw this, I saw this live, and then I saw this posted somewhere, and I had to, I want to show this to you, because this, to me, tells so much about what is taking place with respect to the indictment, President Trump, and the 2024 elections, and even about other matters, whether it's the SARS-CoV-2 Wuhan virus or the Fauci-Barrick virus, DASIC virus, NIAID virus, Bill Gates, and so on, the whole thing. This is somebody talking a little, in my view, a little bit too much. This is video number two. This is legal analyst Ricky Kleeman. You ready for this? Listen to what she says. Here it is.
For more on the legal implications, we're joined by senior investigative correspondent Catherine Herridge and CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman. Ricky, I want to start with you. You've been a prosecutor and a defense lawyer. So what stands out to you now that you've read this indictment?
I think what stands out, obviously, is the magnitude of detail in this indictment. It's not only that you're dealing with 31 counts under the Espionage Act, which simply means the unlawful, willing retention of classified information or even unclassified information that would hurt the defense of the United States and aid our enemies. It's the detail of a speaking indictment. We have to remember that much of this indictment, John, is to educate not only ultimately a court and jury, but it's really to educate the public. Much of this indictment, in terms of the detail, may not even come into evidence in terms of what's admissible or not in the course of a trial.
Okay, what also pause that. Did you hear what she just said? So, yes, 37 counts, 31 under the Espionage Act. But, hey, look, you know what? We just, a lot of this is in there. Well, pretty much the indictment is to educate the public. Since when do indictments get created? And, you know, I can go back in my office and I can show you a couple of indictments. I should have brought them out. Grand jury indictments, unredacted. I would probably have to redact them anyway, but I could show you that. No, you don't educate the public with a grand jury indictment, number one. And number two, she hinted at this, but what you saw on the screen clarified this. At issue on a deeper level here, and as I went through this indictment, there is a difference between classified documents, and you can hear the remainder momentarily. There's a difference between classified documents and documents with classified markings. Now listen to me. Documents with classified markings, if that's the case, I'm in trouble. I know a lot of others are in trouble because most people have them that report on the news. Classified documents are a different matter. Declassifying documents rests with the executive branch. But the difference here is extreme. They are conflating, again, please understand this, classified documents with between classified documents and documents with classified markings. One is not the same as the other. Let's go a little bit further with this clip.
Text me, John. Is the overwhelming detail leaves the Trump legal team with real need to have powerful motions to dismiss. Because if this goes to trial, the way it reads, it's rather overwhelming for anyone to be able to fight it on the facts themselves.
And now I want to get to that motion to dismiss question in a moment. But Catherine, you've been doing reporting about the risk assessment, about just what was in these documents. Educate us on that.
Well, what jumps out to me, John, is when you go to the section on the willful retention of national defense information. By my count, there are 21 top secret documents, and the disclosure of top secret information has the expectation of exceptionally grave damage to national security. But what else stands out to me is some of the classified codings like TK or talent keyhole. You don't see that very often. That's about intelligence from overhead imagery. For example, if we're looking at it,
because we're running out of time, you watch the entire clip. I'm not trying to keep anything from it. You watch the entire clip. It gets into a level of detail which we don't have to get into. To wrap it up, here's the long and short of it. President Trump is persecuted throughout his tenure by even the people closest to him, from Mark Meadows to Bill Barr to everyone in between, right? He's kicked out of office. They take all of the boxes, put them in the parking lot, and says, you deal with them. This is National Archives now. They're your documents. You deal with them. He takes them, puts them in various locations, including Mar-a-Lago. FBI raids Mar-a-Lago. Well, they decide, wait a second. Some of these papers have classified markings, some are classified, but then President Trump declassified those that were classified. And the classified markings are meaningless. So this whole thing by Jack Smith is the wet dream of the people behind the deep state, the very same people who killed Kennedy, the very same people who took out Nixon, the very same people who took out RFK, the very same people who, are even behind, shall I say, complicit with other false flag operations, including but not limited to 9/11. So, this is a move by the deep state to keep President Trump out of office while, hey, there's a perk here too, to make sure that Biden skates on anything that he might have done and his family might have done with Ukraine. How does this all connect together? Because this conveys, this will or could possibly convey, the pardoning process to people like Hillary and Bill Clinton, because there's no statute of limitations on treason, and others like that, that this is kind of an escape hatch for the deep state. If you think about this, you will see how deep this goes. This is why I kept running in and keep running in to Barry Satoru, Barack Hussein Obama, that him and his tranny wife, Michelle Obama, in the deep rabbit holes. And when you get even deeper into this, you'll find shades of Epstein. Yeah, Epstein in this. Oh, tomorrow I'll tell you about that. Oh, there's a lot to get into. A lot more to get into. And what's going to happen next? Watch out, power grids. Watch out. Folks, please support this program. May God bless you. Thank you for listening.